Good morning. Welcome to a radio message of Shore Community Bible Fellowship. We are a new church on the Eastern Shore of Virginia that has a mission to glorify God and make disciples by using Bible-centered teachings to build a community who worships God, grows in His Word, serves others, and plants churches. You can join us for our weekly prayer meeting and Bible study on Wednesdays at 6 o'clock p.m. at 17691 Holly's Church Road in Keller, Virginia.
Greetings. This is Clarence Bellew III. In the words of David in Psalm 34, verses 1 through 3, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Again, let us exalt his great name together. We have an awesome privilege on today to hear the voice of God in his word. The message today is from the book of Ephesians, found in chapter 5, verses 21 through 33. The title of today's message is Marriage, a Reflection of Christ and the Church. Before I begin today's message, let's pray. Dear holy and righteous God, I give you praise. I will bless you, Lord, at all times. I pray this message is pleasing to you, Lord. Let your will be done in and through our time together. Let us hear your voice clearly and act upon the truths that are revealed by your Holy Spirit. Give me the power to speak with clarity and conviction. Help those who are listening to hear free from distractions. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's focus scripture and chapter 5, verses 21 through 33 is all about the marriage relationship. Yes, about the marriage relationship between the husband and the wife, but more importantly, about the marriage relationship between Christ and his church, talking about the people of God. In these verses, we will see how the covenant marriage on earth between man and woman is designed by God to be a direct image of the everlasting covenant marriage between Christ and the church. Please get your Bible and follow along as we go verse by verse through Ephesians chapter 5. I will begin reading at verse 22 and ending at 33. The New King James Version of the text reads, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." Unfortunately, marriage in general is not in the healthiest of positions in this day and age. If we can be honest, healthy marriages may seem far and few between. This is evident by the number of unhealthy marriages that are all around, as well as the high separation and divorce rates. The data suggests that about 41% of first marriages are likely to end in divorce. Simply speaking, if you have 10 married couples in a room, about 4 of those couples will end up divorced. This is extremely alarming when you think about just 75 years ago, marriage in 1949, the marriage rate peaked at 78.8%. Since 2010, the marriage rate in the U.S. has been below 50%, which means that for over a decade and a half, less than half of the American households was led by a married couple. In addition, younger generations are seeing less significance in being in a long-standing committed marriage relationship, but yet are choosing to cohabitate over legal marriage. Although cohabitation, in other words, people living or shacking up, has seemingly become a norm, or some are using it as a test run of marriage, to so to speak, it is still sin. Needless to say, the institution of marriage in society is under attack. More seriously, God's design for marriage is under attack. There is hope, however, because the Bible says in the first part of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, that marriage is honorable among all. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22, it says, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." Or in reference to marriage in Mark chapter 10, verse 9, which says, "Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate." These are just a few of the scriptures that reiterate the fact that God is the creator of marriage. God started marriage and says marriage is good. The mind-blowing part about it is that God uses the marriage relationship between man and woman to be a direct image of the eternal relationship between Christ and his church. That is what the text in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 through 33 is all about. Before we get into the marriage portion of the text, let's not skip over the foundational verse that we find starting in verse 21, which says we are to submit to one another in the fear of God. This verse is a continued thought from where Paul called the believers to live and be filled with the Spirit. And one way to do that is to submit to one another in the fear of God. Believers in Christ are to submit to one another, each doing so by showing honor and reverence to God. The word submit, we will see quite a bit in these verses, is necessary for us to define. The word submit in the Greek is a military term meaning to arrange troop divisions in a military fashion under the command of a leader. In a non-military use, it is a voluntary attitude in cooperating, assuming responsibility, and carrying a burden. Verse 21 tells all who love Christ, those who follow him, to recognize the divine order of Christ being head of the church. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, and referring to Christ, says, "And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of God who fills all in all. Therefore, the church must willingly take on a lowly position and submit towards one another in order to properly worship and adore God." We all have a great example of what submission looks like. Jesus Christ, the Son of God himself, submitted. Christ, the head of all things, including all creation, he also submitted. Jesus chose to submit, even when it was extremely hard, but he was faithful to the will of God the Father. And Matthew chapter 26, verse 36 through 39 says, "Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, 'Sit here while I go pray over there.' And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, 'My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me.' He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will.'" Ultimately, it was about pleasing the Father. That is what submitting in reverence of God looks like. Having a willing attitude to come under the authority of someone else, recognizing God's divine order. This definition of submission is key to understand and apply the truths in the next couple of verses that speaks about the submissive wife. Verse 22 and 23 says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the savior of the body." The scripture says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands." Wives, willingly take an attitude to come under the authority of your husband. For wives to take a more lowly position and to submit to the husband does not mean she, the wife, is less than, or that women in general are less significant than men in the eyes of God. No, by any means. For the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, that so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. We are created equal in God's image. Although created equal in God's image, God still made Adam responsible for loving and providing for Eve. The husband and wife are equal, but yet having different roles according to the design of God. But ultimately, in submitting to their husbands, wives should know and understand that ultimately they are submitting to the Lord. The scripture says that the husband is head of the wife. Headship is the divine calling of a husband to take responsibility for the Christ-like servant leadership, protection, and provision of the home. Submission is the divine calling of a wife to honor and affirm her husband's leadership and to help carry it through according to her gifts. The husband being the head of the wife is a manifest image to show the order of relationship of Christ and his church. Christ is the head of the church. Jesus Christ is the headship of those who believe in him and who are his followers. Jesus Christ is the savior of the body. We know that he is savior of the whole body because of Christ's finished work on the cross of atoning our sins. Believers in Jesus Christ now have an eternal destiny to live forever in the presence of God in heaven. The scripture carries on in verse 24 and says, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Again, don't miss this truth. Don't miss the lesson of divine order here. Christ is over the church, therefore the church is subject to Christ. Because of this, wives should therefore be subject to their own husbands in everything. Now, the power of submission does not mean that putting the husband in the place of Christ. The power of submission in the godly wife is the fact that she understands and accepts God's divine order, that in ultimately loving and submitting to the Lord, she is willingly taking a submissive attitude towards the biblical leadership of her husband. But what does that submission look like? Biblical submission first understands biblical headship. Submission looks like a wife being responsive to the husband's initiative taking, which is not taking all control, but the initiative and planning for the family. Submission looks like when you may not be seeing eye to eye with your spouse and there needs to be a tiebreaker in the decision. It does not mean that the wife has no input, influence, or in some form saying that she's incompetent to make a good decision. No, it is just in submission, the wife says, I trust you, my husband, to do what is best. Ultimately, above all else, submission means to be submitted to Jesus. And simply stated in a covered nutshell, what submission is not. Submission does not mean you follow your husband into sin. This is not so because you can't do that and show reverence for Christ at the same time. Furthermore, godly wives would have no problem in submitting to husbands who understand his role, who humbly seeks to grow the rest of his life in this role of leadership and divine headship. Verse 25 says, husband, love your wives. Husbands who love their wives well would not have to say to their wives, submit, but rather through the way he loves her, she will willingly do so. This word loves in the Greek that is used in this text is agapeo. It means to be fond of and to love dearly. Husbands are commanded to love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. This word love in this verse is the same word for love in the Greek in John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The way that Jesus showed his love for all mankind and given his life to pay the penalty of all of our sins. Husbands are to sacrificially love their wives also, sacrificing his desires and his will for the best interest of his wife. The husband loving and giving unto his wife as Christ loves and gives to his church. Now, this is huge because when Christ loved the church and gave himself for her in verse 26 and 27, it says in order that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Humanity has been dirtied by sin, and sin must be atoned by the death of a perfect sacrifice. The sacrifice cannot have any spot or wrinkle. It has to be without blemish. Whenever an animal was sacrificed by the priest on behalf of their and the people's sins, the animal had to have not any imperfections. Humanity being blemished and wrinkled by sin, but can be made perfect by Jesus Christ taking our place in love. Following Jesus in this definition of love is what the husband is called to do in verse 28, where it says husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. This means biblical love always carries an assumption of action. It is never an immobile emotion. One reason Paul gives for husbands to love their wives as themselves is because human nature pulls us to care for ourselves more readily than for anyone else. By instinct, a man nourishes and cherishes his body. Similarly, the husband should have a a desire because of a natural instinct to nourish and cherish his wife. What does it look like for a husband to love his wife as Christ loves the church? I share a list I read on John Piper's Desiring God website. It describes 10 great loves for every husband should have towards his wife. The first love is a stubborn love, which follows the example of Jesus when he prays in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, which says, "And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." A husband's stubborn love means his love for his wife is not based on her performance, but on the covenant love he has for her. The second type of love is hopeful love. This hope is cemented in the power and the promise of the gospel. Having the hope of eternity always on mind, the husband can be patient with his wife and live in hope for his wife. The third type of love is pursuing love. Just as the shepherd left the 99 to pursue the one in the account of Luke chapter 15, Jesus never takes a break from pursuing one's heart. The husband also should never stop pursuing his wife's heart with his love. The fourth type of love is forgiving love. The husband is to offer his wife forgiveness constantly, recognizing his own constant need of forgiveness from God the Father. The fifth type of love is joyful love. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." By giving his life on the cross, as agonizing and excruciating as it was, beyond what we can imagine, the scripture says that Jesus received joy by giving joy. Husbands should love and recognize the privilege of loving their wives. The sixth type of love is serving love. Even as we have read in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, that Jesus gave himself up for her, referring to the church. Just as Jesus served the church, the husband is to serve the wife. The seventh type of love is a sanctifying love. We can find in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, that we have an advocate in Jesus with the Father. The husband is to advocate on his wife's behalf and doing anything necessary to see her grow in holiness. The eighth type of love is leading love. Just as the good shepherd in Psalm 23, verse 2 says, "He leads me beside still waters," referring to Jesus leading his followers to what is good, so as to the husband should do, lead his wife in the way that is good. The ninth type of love is providing love. Jesus provides for all your needs. The husband also is to provide for the needs of the wife. Yes, this does not mean just the physical needs, but goes beyond the physical needs. The husband is to provide provisions for all needs beyond. And the final type of love be discussed is a knowing love. Jesus knows his church better than we know ourselves. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, it says, "Likewise, husband, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered." Husbands are to love their wives in an understanding way. In other words, husbands should make it their business to know everything about their wives, their strengths, weaknesses, and then follow up and act accordingly. To sum it all up, recognizing this short list is not everything, but at least it's a starting point and provides a great blueprint of how the husband can love his wife as Christ loves the church. The husband can be steadfast and show his wife a love that is stubborn. The husband can be confident and show his wife a love that is hopeful. The husband can be passionate and show his wife that a love that pursues her. The husband can be forbearing, shows his wife a love that is forgiving. The husband can be peaceful by loving his wife with great joy. The husband can be selfless by loving his wife by serving her. The husband can bless his wife by showing her a love that is sanctifying. The husband can guide his wife by showing her a love by leading. The husband seeks responsibility for his wife by showing her a love that is providing. And from the list, a husband can value his wife by lovingly seeking to know her better. If husbands love their wives in this manner, wives will wholeheartedly submit to husbands like that. But the truth of the matter is that to love like that, the husband must be filled with the Spirit of God. So the question now becomes, what happens if God is not present in one or both of the lives of the husband or the wife? How can a godly wife submit to an unbelieving husband? Or in reverse, how can a godly husband love an unbelieving wife? This is the case when a couple was married before surrendering their life to Christ, and then one spouse receives salvation. What is to happen in this situation? The believing spouse must live in such a way that the light of Jesus is shown through their lives. The believing spouse must persevere with all faith and hope. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of God." The believing spouse must persevere through reading the Bible. And Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding." In addition to reading the word of God, one must also live a life of fervently praying to God, especially interceding to God on behalf of their spouse. Also, through it all, as Romans chapter 5, verse 3 through 5 says, "Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." The believing spouse must endure. I can recall an account I read in the book Kingdom Man of how Tony Evans explained how his father changed their family's spiritual legacy. The Evans family, while many people have been impacted by their messages through sermons and books by Pastor Tony Evans and his sons, Jonathan Evans, pastoral ministry or the music ministry of his son, Anthony Evans, or even the teaching ministries of his daughters, Crystal Evans Hurst or Priscilla Shire. While many people may have been impacted by their ministries, the Evans family did not have a long history of being Christians. In fact, Christianity started running in the Evans family bloodline, starting with the grandfather, Tony Evans's father, who they called Two Daddy. The story of Two Daddy was interesting to me, as Tony Evans wrote in his book of how his father gave his life to Christ when Tony Evans was about 11 years old. When Tony Evans' father accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior, Tony Evans' mother was still an unbeliever. It was written that Two Daddy faced many hardships from his wife, and she did everything she could to make his life miserable because she despised her husband's new faith in Jesus. In fact, Two Daddy would wait to read his Bible until the middle of the night in order to ensure that there would be peace in the home. Two Daddy resolved to love his wife as Christ loved the church, and prayed for his wife's salvation and lived a life that showed the light of Christ, until one day, about a year later, she just couldn't understand the love that her husband showed her and surrendered her life to the Lord, submitting her life to the Lord ultimately, but also becoming a submissive wife under her godly husband. Now, this may not always be the case. An unbelieving spouse may continue to go on in a life choosing to not believe. But it does not change the fact of what Scripture says. If you are to be obedient to God, a godly wife is to submit to her husband, and a godly husband is to love his wife. It is not contingent if they are a believer or not. It is because of what the Bible says in verse 30 and 31. "For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." Verse 31 is a reference to Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. "Because they are joined together as one by God in covenant, they are to operate by the divine mandate of order in the covenant, regardless of the spiritual condition of the other spouse." In other words, the husband and wife should honor God's design for marriage because they ultimately honor God. Verse 32 says that this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Now, in the New Testament, this word mystery does not mean something too complex or too deep for humans to understand. It refers to the hidden purpose of God that is now revealed for our understanding and enjoyment. Paul explains this mystery in verse 32. Says the marriage union is a mystery because its deepest meaning has been concealed by God during the Old Testament history. But now it is openly revealed by the apostles. This great reveal of mystery is that marriage is an image of Christ and the church. Oh, how marriages would be refreshed if husbands and wives would meditate on that truth. God revealed this great mystery in the scriptures, that marriage relationship between husband and wife is a direct image of the relationship of Christ and the church. And accepting and receiving knowledge of this mystery by the grace of God the Father We are to be very intentional to fight for our marriages. Also, we have to be very intentional in praying and supporting others in the fight of their marriages also. If marriage is a direct reflection of the image of the relationship of Christ and the church, then you better be rest assured that the enemy Satan and all his demonic minions will do everything in their limited power to make that image as cloudy as possible to the lost world. Christians must put up safeguards in their marriage and be ready to fight for and protect their marriages from the attacks of the evil one. It must start by soaking yourselves in the truths of Scripture and again hearing the message in verse 33 that nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself and let his wife see that she respects her husband. Let each equal partner, the husband and the wife, fulfill their divine given role. The husband is to love his own wife as himself, and the wife is to see to it that she respects her husband. All through the scripture, the mystery of the marriage between husband and wife is reflecting of the relationship between Christ and the church. All through these scriptures, we see husbands as being compared to Christ, wives compared to the church, husbands compared to the head, wives compared to the body, husbands being commanded to love as Christ loved, wives commanded to submit as the church is to submit to Christ. Although this part of scripture mainly focuses on the marriage relationship, those who may not be married, those who may live a life of singlehood, either by choice or not by choice, should also be praying and do all they can to support those who are in those marriage relationships. Not forgetting the foundational verse in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, that we show our lives being filled with the Spirit by submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. Those who are single, either divorced, widowed, or just not married or not remarried yet, can show love for one another, especially being in a wholeheartedly supportive attitude of those who are on that marriage journey. To the Christian, marriage is a gift of God. There is no doubt about it. God has designed marriage, as with all of creation, to have order. The order of marriage is the husband who is head over his wife, but Christ being head over the husband. The husband is to love his wife, and the wife is to submit to the husband. The question for you, husband, is what ways are you loving your wife that Christ loved his church? Are you, husband, loving her in a way that you give your life for her, even if it means literally? Are you, to the Christian wife, are you lovingly submitting to your husband? Do you see him as head over your family? Do you view your submission to your husband as ultimate submission to your heavenly Father? Those Christians who are in holy matrimony need not to underestimate the blessing it is to be in a marriage relationship, but also recognize the responsibility of their marriage relationship as being a reflection of the relationship of Christ and the church. To the one who may be seeking to understand and to know who God is, or you may be the one who has rejected God, there are questions you must understand also. You heard a lot about submission and love. If you recall earlier when I shared about Jesus, the Son of God himself, who was submissive and showed love, Jesus, in submission to the will of the Father, loved us by giving his life for us. The fact of the matter is that we serve a holy and righteous God. As a holy and righteous God, God does not tolerate sin and therefore must punish sin. The punishment for sin, the Bible says, is eternal death. An eternal death, a life that is separated for all time from God in constant torment and agony in hell. God, in being a graceful God, provided a way for humanity to have his price for their sins paid by his Son, Jesus Christ. The question is, will you acknowledge that you have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? Will you acknowledge you have lived a selfish life and are willing to repent and change your mind and actions about your sin? Will you acknowledge that you need the saving grace of Jesus and believe that the blood that he shed on the cross and the death that he went through for you is sufficient to cover your sins and believe that he was resurrected on the third day with all power? Remember, through it all, God is good. What he creates is good. He created marriage. Marriage is a relationship of the image of Christ and his church. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and grace. Thank you for your word today and every day. Specifically, I pray the message about marriage was pleasing to you. Pray for marriages all over the world to flourish as you have designed them to. I pray for protection over marriages. Keep us in your will, Lord, and all things. I pray in Jesus' name. This is Clarence Bailey III, pastor of Shore Community Bible Fellowship. Thank you for listening to this message. If you have any questions about today's message, if you have a prayer request or have decided to follow or renew your commitment to Jesus, we would like to hear from you. Please call us at 757-710-6843 or email us at shorecommunitybible@gmail.com. At Shore Community Bible Fellowship, we desire to see everyone worship God, grow in His Word, serve others, and plant churches. May God's peace and blessings be upon you and your family.